the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Past the square, past the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hello, guys.
Welcome to the Scaredy Cats podcast. We'll be talking about the brand new Texas Chainsaw Massacre today. We're also going to be getting a little bit of the psychology of Leatherface, so we'll be talking about that as well. And yeah, we got a lot of good stuff planned. Before we get into it, some plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday after AEW for the wrestling show and Saturday for the Hollywood Hangout. Make sure to check out Elite Diplodoc on YouTube for our buddy Sean. And make sure to check us at 6:30 p.m. Fridays for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. We got some episodes that should be on major podcast platforms soon. We're getting it figured out. And we just did the top 20 tag teams of all time. And for Unscripted Unlimited on Saturdays around 7, we just did a Beverly Hills Cop retrospective. And we got a lot of fun stuff going on there. So check that out. And Sundays for Scaredy Cats around 12:30, 1, 3, whenever we can do it.
It's between 12 and 3 right now.
Yeah. So we got Texas Chainsaw today. Mindy, you got any news you want to enlighten the people on in horror?
Well, I did find out that we do actually have a new Saw movie coming later this year. It's going to be Saw X, even though it should be called Saw 8.
Now, is that connected to the spiral shit at all that they just did with Chris Rock?
No, it's actually going to be connected to John Kramer and his life. It's going to be more of a prequel.
Okay.
And show us more of John Kramer when he was younger and how he ended up being what he ended up being. So yeah, kind of like what they did in Jigsaw, but they're going back in time. So that'll be interesting. Also, I did not know this. I feel like an idiot. Orphan First Kill has actually come out. It's been out for about a month. I do not know how good it is, guys. I really don't. I haven't seen it. I probably will go see it for my birthday with Daniel. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else, sir?
That is it. So, oh, wait, no. Also, it is confirmed that next year they are going to be releasing The Exorcist reboot sequel.
Right.
It'll be a direct sequel to the 1970s movie. So, which a lot of horror is doing that. Even this movie that we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of franchises with a shit ton of movies in them, this one is definitely up there.
I know this movie has like 10 movies maybe in its franchise, 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah, I feel like Leatherface just came out, and then I looked, it was like 2017. It's like, oh, I guess it has been a couple years, but I was surprised they were rebooting it this fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's not a reboot, but
it was a reboot to the sequel.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Everyone's doing that now. Everyone's changing the story.
How do you feel about that, though, in horror? That, I mean, a lot of the sequels of the 90s and shit for everything got a little crazy and stupid. So I guess I get it. But what do you think about, you know, a lot of, like, new franchise or old franchises and stuff saying none of this mattered after this movie? we're going to pick up after that.
With some of them, I agree. That's the thing. With some of them, I do agree. And, like, people know I don't like remakes. I don't like sequels. It's just something that I really don't prefer. I mean, do I have remakes and sequels that I like? Yeah, of course. Of course. 13 Ghosts being one of them. That's one of the best remakes in horror history. So, in my opinion. But, I mean, also, it goes back to the good old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, some of it I agree with, especially the ones like The Exorcist and like Texas Chainsaw that didn't really have good sequels. Like, they did down the line, but their first couple sequels were really, really awful.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is bringing a little bit of justice. I also like the way that Halloween and this movie as well is bringing a little bit more retribution to the original characters.
Yeah.
What happened to them. Even though I do think that, and we're going to get into it, but I do think that whole thing with Sally was so stupid. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I was so ready for those two to go toe to toe with each other.
I mean, they did.
Daniel, she lasted 10 seconds against her. I know she lasted 10 seconds.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
I kind of like that part though. I like how
it took her 15 minutes to die.
I understand. Hear me out, though. With
okay,
Jamie
I'm going to hear you
Curtis,
out.
With Jamie Lee Curtis, my only complaint about these new Halloween movies is somehow she became a fucking superhero vigilante and can do anything and, like, has Batman strength. And it's cool and it's awesome and, like, she is a badass, but, like, Laurie was just the babysitter in the first one, especially if you're just going after the babysitter. Like, she had some chutzpah, but she wasn't, like, just fucking – like, Sydney's more of a badass. Like, Lori is, but, like, the fact that, like, they made her into a fucking, like, she could do anything. I like that Sally was, like, she thinks she could do that, and she did, like, she's this cowboy now, and she's, like, aged a lot, too, and it's kind of the same way, but when she goes up
Texas
against...
Ranger.
Yeah, but when she goes up against Leatherface, she's a bit out of her match, and I like that. Because that is, like, that should be what happens with Michael and Lori, too. Lori can seem all badass and fine, but when she goes up against Michael, I mean, he can obviously beat the shit out and kill her. So I kind of like that dichotomy that Sally got fucked up pretty quick.
I mean, I liked it too. I'm not going to lie. I did really enjoy it. I just, like I said, I didn't like the fact that it took her 15 minutes to die. I mean, bitch just got gutted with a chainsaw, and now she's sitting here loading a shotgun.
Yeah, that part was very unrealistic because it's not like she got a little wound. He went through her
stomach, she got
out
gutted.
Her back, and kept the saw running. And she was fucking jiggling and bouncing on the saw, and the blood was fucking on her face. And she should have been dead in that moment. There's no reason that she could still be breathing and load a gun and all that shit. I agree with that.
And have a bottle log.
Yeah.
Like, she was able to do a whole speech, a whole monologue, load a gun, while she's dying. That was too much. That was very unrealistic. What did you think of the party bus?
The party bus has to be the best scene in the movie, action-wise. I mean, it's not my favorite kill, but... all it happening at once and, like, the people, like, putting the phone on him and you're going to get canceled if you do this, bro. And, like, it's just, like, it was kind of meta, but it was so fucking cool. And just, like, the music and the lights and him just tearing everybody up and that poor chick trying to crawl out
the window. And if people really watch,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but if you really watch, a lot of the people were live streaming what was happening on their phones. So people were commenting and being like, oh, is this real? Like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
Where is this place? And it's like, what the hell? He's killing people.
Yeah.
This is actually happening. I will have to say, though, the window part, though, gave me Tatum vibes from Scream.
Yeah. And,
when she tried to crawl.
What was her name, that character?
I don't even remember.
That young woman. She was pretty good.
Charlotte
or Catherine?
Charlotte.
Okay. But she was fine. She was like,
I mean, she wasn't really there.
Yeah, but I mean, she saw what's his name in the alley when he got his face ripped off and the cannon told her to run away. And like, she had a little part. She was an investor. I think her name is Catherine, but she was an investor to everything. And like, I mean,
yeah, she was
a
big investor.
She got fucked up. She got fucked up bad. Yeah.
I really liked that scene, though, where he had the one boy on the chainsaw, and then he went after the one girl, because that was like, oh, my God, they're screwing, and he's chainsawing right through them while they're doing it. I mean, they weren't, but that's what it looked like. And I will have to say, the party bus scene was very realistic and unrealistic at the same time.
I mean, yeah, I don't really look to these movies for realism, but I do agree. I thought Leatherface was the gore factor was upped in this one, especially compared to Leatherface, the movie.
Oh, yeah. They focused a lot more on the gore and kills and the slashers than they did on the sex and rape and everything else. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that, too. I'm not going to lie. The plot fell a little flat for me. I didn't hate it.
Well, there really was no plot.
It was there a bit about them taking the bank, and they're kind of the reason the mom died. And
yeah, but was that his mother? Because he
was supposed
in the orphanage. She was the orphanage owner. Did you see the end credit scene? Did you watch the entire movie? Did you see the end credit scene?
Yeah.
When he was walking home?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was his actual house that he was walking back to.
Yeah, but the orphanage mom obviously meant a lot to him because he fucking started fucking everybody up after.
Well, yeah, because it was his mother figure. But I think that got really, unfortunately, I really do think that got really twisted. The plot from the beginning to the end got really screwed up.
Yeah, and I didn't like the other girl with the school shooting and everything. She, the little sister, she was fine. She was a
Mila.
Good actress. She did her job. I didn't
she
like
did
her
a
sister.
Really good job. I
didn't
like Melody, no. Mm-mm.
Melody was just too, I don't know. I think they nailed this generation pretty good in how we act and stuff, so her and Dante weren't that likable. And I don't know if that was by design, but I did not feel for her. Even at the end, I did not give a shit. I felt bad for her little sister. But, like, her her character really didn't mean much to me. I was just waiting for her to die.
Honestly, I thought she was going to go first. I thought he was going to seek her ass out.
Yeah.
I mean, which he tried to, but I didn't think she was going to be that slick and get away from him as much as she did. Which a lot of credit goes to the sister.
Yeah, she went hard. I mean, if there's going
to
be...
She didn't even know how to shoot a gun, and she's coming after him with one.
Yeah. She's definitely in the sequel if there is one.
Yeah. It's probably going to be on her also, too, if there is one. It's going to be based around her, and she's going to be the new and improved Sally.
Yeah, most likely. She kind of took the torch.
Yeah. Sally basically handed it to her as she was dying.
Yeah.
Because she told her, don't run. If you run, it's just going to be worse.
Yeah, it's another one of those things, like the chainsaw to the head at the end that got him in that, like, body of water. Just keep fucking saw. I know he fell in, but, like, try to, like, angle the saw.
There was bubbles.
It wasn't enough.
There was bubbles. He was breathing.
Yeah, they should have known what was going to happen. And just to let him kind of sink in like that, it's like, you got one good fucking shot. You've seen these movies. It's fucking tear into his head or something, or, you know.
Exactly, like jump in the water with him like your sister did. And ram that chainsaw through him. Like, do not stop.
When he's killing y'all, he's not fucking letting y'all stay in one piece. He's ripping legs off, asses off. He don't give a shit.
I mean, he even ripped his mother's figure face off. And put it on.
That was symbolic, though.
Well, that, yeah, that was him becoming his mother.
That scene was nuts, especially that poor blonde girl. I knew the whole time. I was like, you're fucked. She's like,
I know, as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, no.
That was like one of the more mild kills, though. That was like, it was more in suspense. Like, is he going to come and rip her head off out the window? Is he going to chop her up? But then he's just behind her, and he stabs her in the stomach.
He guts her.
Yeah, it was cool, but. It was more like,
it was,
what the hell?
The suspense was more about that kill.
Yeah.
It was more suspenseful and creepy because she was pretending to be dead. And you're like, oh, my God, is he going to know?
Right. My top kill would have to be the sheriff in the paddy wagon when he broke his fucking
wrist
off. Which one? When he's in the back. Yeah. It's funny.
Oh, you stole mine.
It's funny when you see people do something, not even in movies, but in like life, and then they just realize so quick, like, oh my God, I fucked up. And that's how that cop felt. As soon as he like fucking, like the dude was, or Leatherface was shaking the thing and he put his hand on his, he like looked at his eyes and he's like, oh fuck. It's like, that was the wrong move. And then Leatherface just breaks his fucking arm open and just stabs him in the throat with his own wrist muscles or his wrist bones. And it's like, oh my God.
That was one of my tops. And then I also have to bring up the Richter kill.
The Richter kill.
Yeah, when he ended up getting Richter in the jugular with the piece of glass from the window. That was creative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was cool, but that poor guy's head, oh my God. He fucking, that mallet, he smashed that dude's brain like a watermelon. That was fucking.
But that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. But there was nothing left for that guy. And that guy was the biggest dick in the whole movie, because just give him the keys at the beginning. And then, like, when he saw the bank investor in the alleyway and she's freaking out and he just saw that Dante getting his face ripped off, why don't you give her the keys there? He just said, go on the bus and wait. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then he waits until he's
exactly.
Like, dead. And then he puts the keys out. It's like, there you go, Melody. Good luck. Like, dude. This dude was such a...
I mean, I liked him a little bit. I liked his little conversation with Mila.
Yeah, he was cool. He was tough and gruff and kind of like gritty, and he had a nice heart. But I mean, he wasn't fleshed out a lot, but from what we saw of his character, he didn't seem like a terrible person.
No, he seemed like a Texan.
Yeah, that was always trying to do the right thing. But you don't need to see the deed of the house. Give him the fucking keys and be on your way, dude.
Exactly. Like, they didn't kill the old lady. The old lady had a heart attack.
Yeah.
It was going to happen.
Exactly. But, yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought, like, it's not the best plot, but I didn't like the – I didn't think the plot of the first Halloween that came out in 2018 was that great either. I just thought it played to – what makes Texas Chainsaw good. It kind of took the strengths, hid the weaknesses a little bit. There was a lot of good kills. There's a lot to like here. I think there is, like, you can see plot holes, but I don't think anyone's watching these movies for Citizen Kane. I think they know what they're getting. And this gives you
a lot
of... Well,
that's the thing, though. A lot of people are upset with this movie, though. That's
yeah.
The thing. Like,
yeah.
Even though this movie is getting really hardcore shit on, like, people got to realize that this is Leatherface.
I don't know
what Texas Chainsaw Massacre should have been from. It was that from the beginning, and it should have carried on like that. But it decided to choose other themes and other ways to go. And I liked the way that this one was like, no, we're going to be a slasher.
Yeah. And I understand,
and that's all we're going to be.
Probably just want to see it end. But I think for like another installment, this was a pretty good one. It wasn't like great, but it was not bad at all.
It was definitely a lot better than I actually expected it to be. Because you know how pissed I was when I found out that they were doing this. But I will have to say, I'm eating my words. I actually really did like it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I'd give it 7 chainsaws out of 10.
Yeah, I would give it a 7. Definitely.
I thought it was a damn good movie. It had a lot of good gore. If you're just in it for the kills, it's one to watch. If you want to see like a somewhat all right plot and just like, it's just Leatherface do his thing. That's kind of what this is. So.
Exactly. If you want more of a psychological deep dig into him, then go watch 2017's Leatherface.
Yeah. But if you kind of want,
you're gonna get a deep
gore,
psychological dig. If you want gore and you want kills and you want slasher, then do this.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. All right, Mindy, let's get a little bit into the psychological headspan of Leatherface. Obviously, this man is based off Ed Gein and a couple different things, but Leatherface as a whole, I mean, it's hard to really talk about the psychology of a guy that doesn't talk, but just the way he acts, just get into it a little bit, like the background around Ed Gein and kind of the inspiration of Leatherface, because I know you know a great deal about that.
Yeah, so Ed Gein was a man that was born in the early 1900s. He was born in 1906, and his mother, Augusta, hated his father, and she hated Edward, and she hated his brother. And when he started growing up, she then switched from hating to overprotection and became more of like a mom that we like see in Carrie's mom. Very religious. Lutheran, to be exact, very overly religious, very, you can't look at girls. If you do look at girls, you're going to get them pregnant. He was a virgin, actually, because of that. And he was very, very psychologically damaged because of his mother and the way he was treated. Right. And he was very attached to her. And what people also don't really realize, and I was actually really shocked to find out myself, is that he didn't really kill for that long. He only killed and grave robbed for 3 years.
Really?
Yes. It was shortly after his mother died. He started killing in 4 years. He started killing in 53. They caught him in 57. So that was quite interesting. Also, another interesting fact is that Edward Gein was actually the town babysitter in the town of Plainfield.
Christ.
Yes. And he was actually very well known and very well recommended. It seemed that he belonged and got along more with children than he did with adults. Children saw him more openly, whereas adults saw him more with closed vision and got a really creepy vibe off of him, whereas children saw him more as innocent. So he also did other odd jobs, such as plumbing and something else called tanning, which I found out is a way of weather making. That's how they got the Leatherface. So, yeah, I mean, it's his backstory is really, 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 really crucial and really nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, the man didn't even go to prison for what he did. He went to an insane asylum. He wasn't even tried at first because he wasn't competent to stand trial. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And he wasn't competent to stand trial. And then once he was legally committed. And he died in an insane asylum in Wisconsin in the age of 71 from lung cancer.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he didn't start killing until he was 50.
Now
that just shows you that anyone can turn.
Now, the background of Leatherface is a little different, right? Because, I mean, it is the same, and it's very heavily influenced by this man. But also, it is kind of like, not its own thing, but Leatherface has kind of become his own, like, character with his own background. And there's, you know, obviously movies and comics and all this stuff fleshing out his backstory. And about him and the Hewitt family and their cannibalism and him as a young boy with the deformed face and shit.
Mm-hmm. And then him, I really enjoyed 2017's Leatherface.
Yeah, it was really good.
I really liked that movie. It did a really good job of showing us how he became what he became.
Yeah, it was good.
Because to start off with, you looked like a good kid.
Yeah, there's a really good comic series called About a Boy. It's like a one-shot miniseries about him that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it's kind of talking about the beginning and him as an insecure little boy and just kind of not being like a terrible person to begin with, but being so insecure and hating everything around him and stuff, and his family's so fucked up. That he just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, becomes one of them and just starts, you know,
exactly.
brutally killing people. And it's very scary to think about. And it's like, it's crazy, but, you know, it would make sense that this is based on a true story. There's probably, you know, a lot of fucked up families and shit like that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's become, at least in like the big three or big five of like slasher killers, you know, he's like one of the first too, right? Like people say that he inspired like Michael
mm-hmm.
Myers.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the first because his movie came out in oh no, technically Norman Bates is the first, technically. Because you gotta remember Norman came out in 60.
Yeah, but to me Norman's not with them. He's in a different category. What I'm talking about.
He was
like,
based off Ed Gein as well.
He was based
they were
off
both
Ed
based
Gein.
Off the same man.
They're based off the same man, but I'm talking like a hulking, silent, almost supernatural killer.
Okay, well, if you're going to go for that, then yeah, I would say Leatherface is the first one.
Yeah.
Of the Jason and the Michael, he was definitely the original.
Yes. And, you know, very scary. And I really liked the shot at the end of the movie, too, kind of bringing it back to that, when he was like, you know, fucking flipping the chainsaw in the circles and shit and going nuts. Because that was the last shot of the original movie too, right, Mindy?
Yes, but it wasn't the last shot of this movie. The last shot of this movie actually happens after the credits, which is weird for horror. So weird that I missed it at first.
Yeah, they do it everywhere now, though.
Gotta
get that CGI.
And I know, and it showed him going back to his original home. But like I said, that kind of screwed up the movie's plot for me because it's like, how did he end up in the orphanage? How does he know to go home? What's going on?
Yeah, it makes all that not make that much sense.
I mean, other than that, I mean, I would say it was a good depiction of Leatherface. And I mean, you are right, Leatherface and Ed Gein, I mean, Ed Gein is loosely based Well, Leatherface is loosely based off of him.
Yeah.
So, it's not like it's a total depiction.
But it definitely one of the inspirations. And the character has gone to live on a crazy legacy, multiple movies, multiple stories, books, you know, like, it's just, if you want a Leatherface fix, it's not hard to find nowadays. And he really has, like, a cult following. Like, there's Facebook pages based on him. Like, people fucking love this dude.
Yeah, like, guys, there's actually a music video out there. I'm going to do a shout-out to it. That's a parody of Tim McGraw's I Got Friends in Low Places, and it's called I Got Friends with No Faces. And Leatherface is in a bar, and he's playing the song. It is amazing. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. Leatherface, I Got Friends with No Faces. It's really funny.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, he's definitely become a very big culture figure.
Yeah. No, for sure. Do you want to let the people know what we're doing next week, or you want me to, or we talked about it briefly?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was your idea.
You go ahead, because I kind of forgot.
Absolutely. We're going to be doing the movie from 2012, a nice kind of claustrophobic horror slasher, ATM, starring none other than John Peck.
Yeah.
We're also going to be kind of talking about the killer's plan and, you know, hitting all the ATMs and what we think about it and breaking down that a little bit for our
guys, that was my idea.
What's your idea? So we'll be doing that, and we're going to talk about the movie. We're going to talk about the guy's plan a little bit. There was a sequel, right?
No,
there wasn't a sequel.
Mm-mm.
So we'll talk
there
about.
There was supposed to be one.
So we're going to talk about our ideas for a sequel. If we gave a sequel, what our ideas would be. So we're going to kind of deep dive into that movie, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And
yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, that is a great movie. I can't wait to revisit that this week. As far as today goes, this was a lot of fun, Mindy. Deep diving into Leatherface and talking about this brand new movie. Everybody, it's on Netflix. Go check it out if you want to see it. It's a good watch. I think we both recommend it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
You got any parting
all right,
words?
So I think it's time for me to go hooty hoo.
Okay.
And it's time for us to sign off. We will see you guys. Well, not see you, but we will talk to you guys next week.
Absolutely. And everyone have a scary week, and we will see everybody next weekend.
All right, guys. Who do you?